Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. Today we're going to be going through lifetime customer value and talking about this important metric and how you can use it to scale your business. So let's get started. Hi Ian, how are you?
Hello Mark, good. How are you doing?
I'm all right, yeah, I'm good. Right, today's podcast, we wanted to cover lifetime customer value. I think we've covered it a little bit before, but we just wanted to do an update on lifetime customer value, what it is, how to measure it, how to improve it, all those good things. So let's get started. So do you want to just kick off a little bit, Ian?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, I think lifetime customer value is very relevant at the moment because 2020 has been a phenomenal year of growth for many e-commerce clients and in terms of recruitment of new customers. And now they're sitting on potentially a huge accelerated amount of first-time buyers. And often, in order to really scale an e-commerce business, you've got to think about the lifetime customer value, which essentially means how you get them to buy again. And not just again, but again and again. And so I think it's extremely relevant now to all these businesses who've recruited first-time buyers and thinking, right, what the hell do we do now with this massive list of customers that we've got? It is probably the most powerful thing in any e-commerce business, isn't it? Lifetime customer value. But just to explain what we mean by lifetime customer value, we define it, and we sometimes say LTCV, which is lifetime customer value. You'll hear us write that down all the time. But lifetime customer value, we define as how many times in a single year would a customer buy again? So if they buy once, on average, yeah. And on average, if you can have an average stat for lifetime customer value, customers are buying 1.2 times a year on average. Now, it massively depends on what you're selling. So if you're selling something like contact lenses versus a one-off sofa, you know, lifetime customer value is obviously going to be massively different. So it's the whole ratio between average order value and lifetime customer value is very, very important. And it can be a fundamental way to scale the business. So if you take contact lenses, you've got a low average order value, but a high lifetime customer value. But a sofa is obviously a low lifetime customer value, but a very high average order value. So I think that, you know, first of all, you know, what we're going to talk about today is some techniques that we've seen work very well to get the lifetime customer value up. However, let's be honest, the biggest single impact on your lifetime customer value is the products you're selling. If you're selling things that naturally get people come back and buy again and again, obviously that's going to have a fundamental effect on your lifetime customer value. And you can have a really rubbish e-commerce store, but if you're selling something like vitamins, for example, you'll get much better lifetime customer value than another business that's actually really well optimized. But in all cases, we want to get it higher, don't we? We want to get the lifetime customer value up.
I mean, fundamentally, we're trying to understand how much a customer's worth to us and how much it costs us to recruit the customer, because that's the fundamental business that we're in, really. You know, if we get a customer over a year, that customer might be worth £250 to us. So therefore, if we can recruit that customer at £30, $30, then, you know, we're laughing because we've got enough revenue there to justify it. Whereas if we just looked at the first sale, maybe the first sale's $30 and it costs us $30 to get a customer, we'd probably go, don't want to do that. But if you actually know that on average that customer goes and buys £250 or $250, you're gonna be wanting to make sure, you know, you're going to be getting more of those people on board. So it's understanding those kind of fundamental stats that allow you to scale your business. And of course, you need to understand if you're in the business where the lifetime customer value is pretty much one purchase. I mean, there are businesses out there that, I mean, there was one we were doing the other day, and it was like moving boxes for moving house. You know, so it's going to be very difficult for that business to kind of try and sell the next month after someone's moved house, because those boxes have been bought, that job to be done has been done. And so therefore, they're then sitting on an email list they can't necessarily sell their existing products to. So then they have to think, well, is there a secondary business to this? Can I increase the lifetime customer value by selling something that is the next job to be done, i.e., you know, they've moved into the house, can I sell them storage boxes? Because obviously people moving to house want storage boxes.
And that was the crucial thing for that particular business, that they, the current business they had, they wanted to scale to 5 million. And, you know, the problem that they had at the moment is their average order value was quite low. And their lifetime customer value was one. So they had to make the money on that first purchase. And that first purchase, the average order value was, say, about £40. So that is a big ask. By the time you've done all your recruitment, your paid advertising, and it's quite a competitive market, and, you know, it's going to be very hard, unless they change their lifetime customer value, for them to get to 5 million, because they're having to pay to recruit new customers all the time. Every time a sale comes, they've had to pay for it. Whereas, of course, you get the lifetime customer value up, it's essentially free. And what it then allows you to do is to make sure your paid advertising, your recruitment budget, go much further, because you can be much more aggressive. You no longer are constrained to your 1 to 3 times return on ad spend. You can go down. You can go, actually, I'm going to go to a 1 to 2, because I know we've got lifetime customer value coming up. They buy again, which means I can factor that into my recruitment costs. And that's absolutely fundamental to get your head around.
Once you've done that, you kind of know it's important, you've got your figures and you know what it is at the moment. So how do you get it? How do you actually increase it? So first thing I always do is I look at the buying behavior. So we always talk about going with the flow of the river. So when people do buy again, when does it tend to happen? Does it tend to happen in the first 30 days, or does it tend to happen after 6 months? Or, you know, what do people do on the website, and how do people buy? Because if you can find a pattern within that, you probably find like tip of the iceberg. If so many people buy after 30 days, or they buy quickly, there's probably more people that would do the same. So therefore, look to see when people repeat purchase and understand that, and go and add that into your email series to actually make people buy again. So that's the first thing.
Well, I'd say, go on then. You finish your first thing.
Well, the other thing I was going to say was that, you know, do you have distinct buyer types? You know, if you're selling fishing products, you might have fly fishermen and sea fishermen, and therefore, you might be able to split those and then say, well, fly fishermen, they tend to buy once every 6 months, but sea fishermen, they tend to buy once a month because they're really into it, because they're going on more trips, they're going out. So if you can kind of like split your customers maybe into 2 or 3 buckets and get them into those buckets, then you can actually increase the lifetime value much better, because you can send more targeted emails to those segments. And, you know, there's almost, think there's like 3 or 2 different rivers, and you're flowing with those rivers, with the way they work.
Well, you're talking about segmentation now, aren't you? You're saying, how can we get we can be more targeted with our emails, which is absolutely right, isn't it? You're saying, okay, you know, based on what they've bought, you know, can we see a pattern here, and can we put them into a certain camp? And I think that's great. I mean, you know, we could probably have a dedicated podcast on just that topic, segmentation of your mailing list, of your house file. But generally, the way I feel about it is that if somebody is going to buy again, they tend to buy quite quickly. And when they buy for a second time, they become quite loyal. And so you always find that the most responsive customer is the one that's just bought. You know, you know, no matter what you're selling, it always tends to be that. That, you know, the multi buyers, your most recent multi buyers, are the ones that come back and buy again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the that's quite interesting to note, because if you think about it, and we've said this a few times now, but if you think about if someone is buying something from a website, let's say you're selling home furnishings and you've sold a table lamp. What does that purchase, or a rug, or a whatever it might be, something for the house, what does that purchase mean about that person? And it means that they're interested in doing up that room or that house. So they buy a table lamp, and that we know that what they're thinking about in that world, that life at the moment, is doing up that room, doing up the house. And so we've probably got maybe 2 or 3 months tops where they're into doing up their house before they move on to something else in their life, like going on holiday, tarmacking the drive, buying a car, whatever it might be, whatever else is going on in their life. So they're responsive, they're hyper responsive in the first month or two. And it depends on what you're selling, but generally speaking, they're hot in that first month. And we know this because we've tested this, where we've sent the simple post purchase email, and we've tested how quickly after they've bought do we hit them with the purchase. This was years ago. But we found that when we moved that post-purchase email from 30 days to 20 days to 10 days from when they made so we were basically bringing it closer to when they made that sale, the conversion went up. And we kept bringing it closer until we sent it an hour after they just bought, basically trying to get them to buy something else. And we gave them a nice offer, a nice welcome email. And that worked. You know, it was far more powerful to hit them when they just bought. And it's weird, but you've gone through this thing, you know, cognitive dissonance, where you trust the business, you're excited about it, you're looking for things to reassure yourself that was the right decision, and also you're in that mode of buying. So you think, hey, let's do it. So, you know, that's very useful. Whereas in 6 months' time, you send them an email saying, oh, here's the matching floor lamp that goes with that table lamp. In 6 months, they've moved on. They're not bothered.
You know, one thing I would add there is, if you can see that in your data, you can see that a lot of people are buying again within 30 days, is that the more effort you put into making that first purchase a bit of a wow moment for them will mean that the second purchase is much more likely to happen. So, you know, like adding a free mystery gift they didn't expect into the purchase, you know, making sure that it's maybe delivered slightly faster than they expected, you know, all those things that actually make them go, oh gosh, that was easy, that was great. You know, having a great unboxing moment, those things are going to really help those people buy again within those 30 days. Yeah. So if you do spot that data and jumping on those one of the things famous, will help.
One of the famous companies that talks about that is Zappos, isn't it? And if you've read his book, he talks
he
about...
Died, wow, he died, Ian. He died 2 days ago. Yeah.
Are you kidding?
He died. It's tragic. Yeah, he's only 46.
How did he die?
40.
What, happened
in a house fire. Yeah, Tony Heesh died. Saw that.
Oh, my God. That's awful. Yeah. I'm halfway through his book.
I know.
Oh, my God. Well, that's terrible.
Well, that makes it more poignant.
Right? Yeah, it really does. What a sad thing. I was going to say, I recommend everybody following him and reading his book. Yeah. Because he talks a lot about how you wow your customers, and he talked about how he would upgrade people to next day delivery for free. Anybody would tell them, of course, and
I mean, obviously he's right in that sweet spot. He's selling to people who love shoes, and they will buy lots and lots of shoes, and therefore his lifetime customer value is super important. And therefore, you can learn, if you're in a similar situation, you can learn a lot from how they start that business. You could, if you were selling something where it was like a one-off purchase, you would probably go bankrupt doing the things that Zappos did, because you just would never get the lifetime value to support it. So you just need to make sure you're in a lifetime customer business where it's high.
Yeah, I think two of the things that have really made an impact in repeat business or lifetime customer value. Is that I've seen is number one giving people that, you're talking about that wow. And I remember talking to an e-commerce business selling men's clothing ages ago. And we were talking at the time, I think we were thinking about, you know, the Las Vegas offers, you know, the hotel offers.
Yeah.
They're just too good to be true. You know, you get the free, you know, you get a free bottle of champagne, you get £1,000 worth of, you know, casino vouchers, you get, you know, upgraded to the pent suite, you get, you know, limo service, all these things. Like, wow, God, that's incredible. You know, it was like a, mm-hmm. it was like a wow. He's like, God, that's so awesome. Such a great feeling. And I was still talking about that with the client. And I said, we've got to wow these customers because, you know, we're only getting like 1.2 times a year purchase. If we can get these guys to buy twice a year, it's a game changer. You know, it's going to take the business, you know, right on path to be doing 10 million. And it literally is going to be a huge, huge thing. So how can we get these guys to buy again? Because we don't have to pay for the recruitment because we don't have to pay Google or Facebook because we've got them on the database. How can we do it? And we said, we've got to come up with that wow experience. And so we did a couple of things. First of all, we implemented a loyalty scheme system, but we didn't shout about loyalty when you were buying for the first time. People are not going to buy a product because you've got a loyalty scheme. That is not the way to do it. What you should do is get everybody automatically enrolled in the loyalty scheme, so they all earn points. And the second thing is that you don't ever use points. You use the cash equivalent because that's what people will understand. And mm-hmm. the third thing is you should always top up their loyalty cash to a minimum of something that looks interesting. And I said the minimum is 10% of your average order value. So if it's £100, the minimum it's got to be is £10. So if they're earning, you know, £1 for every £10 spent, you know, or whatever you want the ratio to be, you've got to top it up. So you've got to say, hey, so amazing to have you here. Awesome to join the club. We're going to give you something awesome. We're going to give you, you know, some cash to spend on your next purchase. And it's something meaningful that works well. When you've rolled that out, you should roll that out on every single email you possibly can, all the communication, everything. When they come back to the site, you should show them how much they've got to spend. And you can use that as a way of, you can put time elements on it, and you can do this on all of them, BigCommerce, Shopify, Magento, they've all got these systems. But the key is you've got to show the cash equivalent, and it's got to be enough. And we also did it where if they hadn't bought for 6 months, we would automatically double their loyalty cash for a week, and it would be a use it or lose it. And if they obviously lost, you know, they didn't, it would disappear.
And that was also, just what you were talking about. The key of that as well, remember, we used to send out emails that said they were about to expire, so they were about to lose. Yeah. So we triggered the fear of loss, which is a lot higher. They think they've got that cash and they're about to lose it, and they go,
and it's just the same. It's a discount. It's just like saying, hey, here's 25% discount, which doesn't feel like anything. Whereas you say, hey, here's, it might be £50, you know, if it was £200 average order value, you know, so here's £50, you're going to lose 50 quid, you know, and it's something that's, I find that, I mean, obviously there are exceptions to what I'm about to say, which I can think of, but generally speaking, a percentage off is good for a recruitment offer because people understand it. And, you know, but obviously make sure it's coupon driven and, you know, not just it looks like everyone's getting it. But then as a repeat business, I find that cash off, especially if it's done in a, you know, a more genuine, sincere way is a nicer experience to give them cash. And I think the second thing, once you've done the loyalty card, these are the things that I know we've implemented for many e-commerce stores, and they all seem to have a good impact. The second thing is you put people into a VIP type scheme where you say, hey, you know, we're so proud and pleased to have you here. We're going to give you free delivery for the next 12 months. And that's
been massive, isn't it?
Massive. Mm. But obviously you have to communicate that. You can't just say it once. You have every single email says, hey, remember, you qualify for you know, 12 months free delivery, and it runs out on this date. You know, and you'd really communicate that well, because that also feels like, you know, when you're thinking, oh, I should go and buy another, you know, pair of trousers or a pair of shirt or whatever, or you know, mm-hmm. another bloody face mask, whatever the hell you're buying, or another tire for my car or another car battery. You think, well, I've got free delivery on that company for the next month, so I'm going to go buy it.
And if I buy something, then I get to keep it longer, and therefore I'm not going to lose it, and I'd like to keep that in. Like to top it up, kind of thing, and it just becomes that little reason that just gets them onto the site to go, oh, I wonder if there is anything I could get for myself. And it's a different conversation in their mind, and it's using psychological techniques.
Because someone's bought something from you, and you haven't engaged them and given them that really nice experience or a reason to come back. It's like back to square one again. What do? They go straight into Google. And they start looking at all the Google Shopping ads, and they'll buy from whoever's the cheapest. Mm. But if you're giving them this cash equivalent, you know, £50 off, and you've given them, you know, we're going to give you free next day delivery for 12 months. That's brilliant. And I think, you know, if you think about it, if this customer, you know, they were only buying 1.2 times a year on average, and the cost, I think, the cost per acquisition, let's say it was £25, it was costing to recruit a customer. And, and then the second purchase, we don't have to pay that again. And the second purchase, you know, we're giving them, you know, I think it was like £10 worth of loyalty, and then, you know, £3 cost of delivery. You know, it was just so much more profitable for the business to do. And it also wowed everybody. And the lifetime customer value, you know, has really risen. And it's quite hard to check the lifetime customer value, because it's a rolling 12-month period. That's how we define it, isn't it? We say, well, look at someone who recruited 12 months ago in, let's say, you know, whenever it might be, November 2019, the people that were new then, how many times have they bought? What's their spend been in the last 12 months? And that's how we recruit. So we go back 12 months from today. We see it as a rolling. We basically look at that figure. But they're the ones that I found are the no-brainers. But again, you know, to use a phrase that we use a lot, go with the flow of the river. If you've got products that naturally lend themselves to lifetime customer value, you know, nail it. If you have no lifetime customer value, and I would argue to say, you know, you must challenge that feeling. But what you have to do is get the average order value up on the first purchase. Mm-hmm. And that's doing multi-buys and upsells and supersize me and all those things that we know and love.
Post-purchase upsells. Yeah.
Yeah. But you should do that anyway, shouldn't you? But it's often like it's a two-pronged attack with e-commerce growth. You've got to have a recruitment strategy that works, that you're profitable with. And you've got to have that super profitable back end of the business that's going on repeat business and lifetime customer value. It's almost like having two separate departments in your e-commerce business. You know, one that's heavy on recruitment and one that's heavy on lifetime customer value, and almost like pitching them against each other, because they're two really, really important ways.
Well, it's almost like a motorbike with two wheels, isn't it? If you've got a motorbike with two wheels, if you've only got one of them working, you've either got to do a wheelie all the time or you're in trouble. So you've got to get both those wheels working. And even if you're in a business where you say, well, we haven't got much lifetime customer value because people are buying this product, you've got to look at that asset you've got, those emails, and you go, well, what's similar about all these customers, and what can they buy? What could they buy from us? What could we sell to them? Because you've got to get both of those wheels working, because when you go out into paid traffic, the majority of people will probably have got both. Well, there'll be somebody who's got both those wheels working. And if you've only got one wheel, then they're going to be able to outbid you on all the auctions for all the paid traffic. And it's going to be very difficult for you to recruit.
Yeah, that's it. You got to be really creative. I mean, some people will say you can if you've got a product that people only buy once and that's it, you know, you might be able to do gift vouchers and things like that. So when it comes to time for like Christmas stuff, you can say, you know, do you want to gift it? I mean, that's a small thing, but you're never going to get, you know, big stuff. You've got to be very creative with it. We have had a couple of businesses that we've helped over the years that have had naturally very low lifetime customer value. But then ultimately that defines the maths, and you're saying, right, well, the business as it is, you're not gonna scale past 5 million.
Mm.
You know, unless we change, that's gonna then open up the door and you can then get to your 10 million plus.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fascinating metric.
Yeah. The only thing I would say to look at is, you know, if you can get the review score that the customers reviewing you at the beginning, and then look at the lifetime customer value compared to that, you know, how much does a 3 out of 5 cost you in terms of lifetime customer value? How much does a 4 out of 5 cost you on average? How much does a 5 out of 5? Because if you can actually put a monetary on that, and then you say, well, gosh, if someone gives us a 5, the lifetime value is 300. And if we get 4, it's only like 200. So it's actually, we just lost £100 every time someone gives us a 4 out of 5. Or if someone gives us a 3, the lifetime value drops down to 50. So therefore, if you start to understand what those metrics are, then you can put much more, you can actually understand, well, maybe we give them upgrade their delivery. That on average puts the score up by a point. Therefore, on each order, we're getting an extra £100 on lifetime customer value. So therefore, you know, it's worth doing. So
I'll tell you one other thing that I nearly forgot to say, but obviously back in the day, it was very hard to track lifetime customer value. So we built a tool to help to do it. So when we were helping e-commerce clients grow, we actually built something that tracked all the orders. And but what it was interesting to know was that what's my lifetime customer value based on the first product bought? So if they bought a blue t-shirt of extra large size, what's the lifetime customer value of that product versus someone who first bought a small or medium blue t-shirt? And obviously there's two very quick examples, but Mark, do you know which product would give itself would have a better lifetime customer value, the normal like small medium t-shirt size or the XXXL t-shirt?
Well,
size?
Ian, I do know you're what you're talking about. It would be the XXXL.
Yes.
Basically, because if you find it hard to buy clothing on the internet and you want to go and buy some tall trousers or something like that, then if you find someone that works for you, you're going to keep going back there. Whereas if you're the person that can obviously buy from everywhere, then you've got more choice. So you might find those niches, like there's one of our customers sells plus size nurse tabards and things like that, and that's obviously way higher lifetime customer value because they go.
But the
reason why I've
added that example is that if you know that, and the tool that we built helped us do this, and I'm not saying everybody get it because it was a bloody nightmare to do, but what it allowed us to do was to do a bid adjustment in Google Shopping to bid higher on those products that gave us a better lifetime customer value. So we could do a plus bid automatic. So essentially we're spending more money on the products that we know are going to give us. And that makes absolute sense, doesn't it? You spend more money on the products you know are naturally going to give you a better repeat business. You've got to really get
into
that stuff. You've got to really get into this. Because if you really figure out that lifetime customer value and how you can actually like really push it hard for your business, then you're winning. You're going to win.
Yeah. And also, like, you know, taking this data and putting it into Facebook, you know, doing a look-alike of your recent multi-buyers and your recent customers who you know are going to have higher lifetime customer values is obviously means you're going to hopefully go and recruit more people like them. So, you know, it's you can steer the ship, can't you, towards more customers that are going to be your lifetime customer value.
Yeah.
So that's similar for Google Shopping, bidding on the products that you know you're going to have high lifetime customer value.
And you can go, as you probably just said this, I drifted off there slightly.
It's because I've got such a boring voice.
Yeah, well, it is. It's the same as mine. But I think mine's slightly more stoky than yours.
Yes, I'm very Northern. Posh.
Well, you know.
Not really.
Debatable.
Yeah, we're from the coal mines.
Yeah, well, that's where we're brought up. Is it we can yeah. You know our family business is baking.
Baking, yes, that's true.
Makes bread.
I do know that. Yeah.
Yes.
But you never you never worked in the bakery, did you?
I was in there. Why did you say this? What are you talking about?
I was in there.
You've created this illusion. You've created this fallacy of your childhood.
Did you ever work?
What are you talking about? Of course I did. I used to put the jelly in the pork pies.
For like an hour?
Do the blocking.
Really?
Listen, I don't know what planet you're on, but if you think I didn't work in the bakery, I was there every Saturday.
You would not.
I was.
Did you ever clean? Did you do any cleaning of the bakeries?
Yes.
Did you?
Listen, I was four. Your difference was I didn't get paid for it. You got paid because you were the chosen son, because my father liked you better than me.
The chosen one. Yeah, it's true.
Are we off topic? I don't know if this.
No, this is all lifetime customer value stuff.
Okay, good. Lifetime customer. What I was going to say was that if you analyze the data, you've got lifetime customer. You've got customers who are buying more than once. They're hyper responsive. Who the hell are they? What do they look like? Where have they come from? What do they buy in the first? What channel did you recruit them in? And what did they buy? What was their average order value when they first purchased? Did they go for premium next day delivery? Did they go for an offer? Mm. Did they get, you know, did they use a voucher from somewhere? You know, what was it? Where did they go? Who are they? Get more of them.
Yeah, exactly. Basically. Exactly. And court them and find out who they are, characteristics, yeah. Dig into it. You know, where do they live? What, you know, are there some postcodes that, you know, people buy a lot kind of more from
and
you?
Why are they buying your product? What are they using it for? What's the job to be done? Are they all, you know, estate agents or are they all, you know, do they all love golf and they're using it for this? You know, what are they doing? Why are they buying your product? What's that job to be done? Tap into that.
Yeah. Yeah, because then you can do offers for those people, can't you? Say, look, we're doing the golfing offer, the golfing holiday offer, or, you know, if everybody's going on cruises, here's the cruise offer, and start really catering to those markets, and then you do really well.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, Ian, I think that's a good episode. And just want to remind people, if you do not have our book, so please buy our book, which is available to people outside the UK at book.hammersleybrothers.com, or if you're in the UK, it's www.ecommercebook.co.uk, and you can get started on the journey with us. So, yes, thank you very much, and we'll speak to you next time.